Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to those that are watching on and listening online. We're coming to another of our mornings of looking at people having dinner with Jesus. And today is the occasion where Jesus has dinner with Zacchaeus. And Jesus has a meal with Zacchaeus, and most likely he actually stays the night with him. So that's going to be interesting to look at this morning. So I just want to pray briefly. I know Jeremy's just prayed, but let's just pray. Father God, thank you for this incredible story that's recorded of the Lord Jesus meeting with Zacchaeus. And as we look at the story, we find that it doesn't matter how bad we are, how far away from you, we are, you still love us, and you have a plan and a purpose for us if we will just choose to accept you and your way for us. So just bless as we read the Bible, speak to us through your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our verses we're going to read are from Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. So just let's read the story together. So Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." So as we come to this story, I want to just give you a little bit of setting the scene so that it might help you to understand the context of this occasion. And so what I've got for you is I've got a little bit of a map of part of Israel. And as I talk, you'll be able to see where Jesus was going as he makes his way down to Jericho. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, we see Jesus heading towards Jerusalem and crossing the border from Galilee into Samaria. So if you look at the map, you can see Galilee right up near the top. Middle of the map is Samaria, and then down at the bottom is Jericho, and a little bit towards the left is Jerusalem. So those are the main areas that we'll be talking about in our story. So as we in verse 11 of chapter 17, now that's two chapters ahead of where we've just read from, but it really helps us set the scene for Jesus coming into Jericho. So it's as Jesus crosses the border from Galilee into Samaria, and you'll remember the event where Jesus miraculously heals the 10 lepers. That happens near that border between Galilee and Samaria. Then in chapter 18, verses 31 to 34, Jesus reminds his disciples that he is heading to Jerusalem. He is going to Jerusalem to face what the prophets have foretold about his death. Then at the end of chapter 18 and verse 35, we read that Jesus is approaching Jericho. It is in this location that you'll remember the blind beggar is shouting out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus asks him what he wants from him, the blind man says, "I want to see." And in verse 42, "And Jesus said, 'All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you.' Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God also." Then we get into chapter 19, which is our verses today. And in verse 1, we read that Jesus has now entered Jericho and is making his way through the town. The town is crowded and busy. Is there a reason for this? We know that not long after his meeting with Zacchaeus, Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples just prior to his crucifixion. The city of Jericho is a crossroad from the north, you can see coming down from the north to Jericho, and also from the east for people wanting to travel to Jerusalem. At this time, there are many groups of people heading to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. Jericho is full of people travelling toward Jerusalem. And what nicer city than Jericho to stop for a night or two to break the journey, remembering that they're walking or on a horse, a donkey, horse or a cart. It is in this busy and crowded environment that Jesus becomes the centre of attention. The crowds gather around him as he makes his way through the city. So then we come to the point of looking at Zacchaeus. What was Zacchaeus like before he met Jesus? Well, in verse 2, we're introduced to Zacchaeus, and we're told that he's a chief tax collector and that he is very rich, and that's important to remember that. According to some historical writers, would-be tax collectors would bid for the job to become a tax collector. The highest bidder would become the tax collector for the local area and would collect tax from the people on behalf of the Roman governors. Zacchaeus had most likely started as a local area tax collector, but had progressed in his role to become the chief tax collector for the region of Jericho. There were three tax collection centres in Israel. Jericho was one of them, as well as Caesarea and Capernaum, which the map's gone, but they're on that map. So each tax collector would have to tax the people sufficiently to pay the Romans the amount they had bid to win the position of tax collector. Any other money they collected in taxes above that amount, they could keep. So the tax collectors invented many different taxes so they could make as much money as possible. As a busy trade route, Jericho became a prime location for gathering many forms of tax on the movement of goods. Commentators say that there was taxes for using a cart. There were taxes on the wheels of the cart. There were taxes on the goods carried on the cart. And so it went on. They found every possible way to claim a tax. As the chief tax collector in Jericho, Zacchaeus was now able to not only collect tax in his own right, but he was also able to take a cut from all the other tax collectors in the region working under him. This had allowed him to become very rich. Unsurprisingly, tax collectors were despised and hated by the people. That a fellow Jew would collect taxes from them and give to their Roman oppressors was bad enough. But to extort unreasonable taxes from people to make themselves rich, that really inflamed the hatred. In verse 3, we read that Zacchaeus was a short man. We also read that for some reason, Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. There is no reason given why. But anyway, Jesus, Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus, and I think the answer becomes a little bit clearer later in the story. Being so short and with a large crowd around, there was no way that Zacchaeus could see Jesus, whom he desperately wanted to see. So in verse 4, we see Zacchaeus work out which direction Jesus is walking toward. He then runs ahead and climbs a sycamore fig tree before Jesus arrives at that location. You would have to think that Zacchaeus was desperately wanted to see Jesus for a rich person like him to be seen climbing a tree. But then we get to look at Zacchaeus meets Jesus. Zacchaeus is successful. He is sufficiently high in the tree to see Jesus as he walks right up to the tree where Zacchaeus is sitting. Then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. In verse 5, Jesus stops, looks up into the tree and calls out, "Zacchaeus!" Now that was probably surprising enough for Zacchaeus that Jesus knew his name. But what a surprise when Jesus says, "Quick, come down, I must be a guest at your home today." Some writers say that this was not only an instruction from Jesus about Zacchaeus providing Jesus a meal. No, to be a guest at his home meant that Jesus was planning on staying with Zacchaeus for the night. And I assume that if Jesus was staying, there were probably 12 disciples to provide for as well. Verse 6, Zacchaeus climbs down quickly and takes Jesus off to his home with great excitement and joy. Zacchaeus is super excited that Jesus wants to come to his place for a meal and to spend the night. But there is probably no other person in the crowd that is sharing the excitement and joy of Zacchaeus. In fact, the crowd are stunned, angry, and grumbling. Verse 7 says, "But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. It seems like they think Jesus, who knew Zacchaeus' name, did not know about his lifestyle. Because if he did, surely he would not want to have anything to do with him. Zacchaeus, a notorious sinner, and Jesus has gone to be his guest? How could Jesus possibly think this is okay? But then we have Zacchaeus after his meeting with Jesus. Verse 8 is fascinating. We have no information about the meal. We have no record of what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. One moment, Jesus is telling Zacchaeus to come down from the tree, and the next we hear is Zacchaeus making some incredible, outrageous commitments. What changed about Zacchaeus? But thanks, I'll have a little bit of that, getting a bit dry. What changed about Zacchaeus between verses 6 and 8? What makes a man whose life has been driven by money, who has become very rich by unjust and corrupt ways, commit to giving most of that wealth away? In chapter 17 and 18 of Luke, there are parables that Jesus uses to teach his disciples. There are also a number of accounts of Jesus interacting with other people as he travelled from Galilee down to Jericho, and it's well reading those parables and interactions. It seems like each parable and each account builds on the next to help us understand the response of Zacchaeus. One of those interactions was with a religious leader who was very rich, just like Zacchaeus. He asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus responded, "You know the commandments, You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honour your father and mother. The religious leader said, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Then Jesus said to him, there is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And in verse 23, gives us the response of the religious leader. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who heard this said, then who is in the world can be saved? He replied, what is impossible with people is possible with God. And that is what's so amazing about Zacchaeus. What seemed impossible happened. The hated and despised, very rich chief tax collector Zacchaeus enters the kingdom of God. I wonder how Zacchaeus' parents felt as he entered a career as a tax collector. Like most parents, they had probably spent some time thinking about a name for their newborn son. Eventually, they arrived at the name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, a name in Hebrew, Zacchaeus, a name of Hebrew origin, that means pure and innocent. Wow, how disappointed would they have been when their son became a tax collector? But after his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus is transformed. Jesus says this about Zacchaeus in verse 9. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. The impure has become pure. The guilty has become innocent. Because of his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus now lives out the true meaning of his name. And so I want to close out by talking about what's your response. I don't think it's any coincidence that the salvation story of Zacchaeus happens as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where Jesus is about to die on a cross for the sins of all people, where the way of salvation for sinful people is to be accomplished. A way for sinful people to be forgiven and restored to a right relationship with God. The purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to bring salvation to a desperately broken and messed up world. There was no other way. God's plan for saving man needed Jesus to come to earth, needed Jesus to die on a cross. Needed Jesus to rise from the dead, needed Jesus to ascend back into heaven, and needed God to send his Holy Spirit. Over and over again in the Bible, we read verses that tell us the reason for Jesus coming into the world, and here's three of them. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we see the carpenter Joseph. He is thinking about what he should do with Mary. Mary, the woman he is engaged to, is now pregnant. What is the right thing for him to do? In verse 20 we read, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The angel of the Lord declared to Joseph before the birth of Jesus, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Then in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus says this about himself, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. And lastly, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been arrested for preaching about the resurrected Jesus. They have been taken off to prison, and the next morning they stand before the high priest and some religious leaders. During his response to the questions of the religious leaders, Peter accuses them of killing Jesus, but then adds that God has raised Jesus back to life. And in verse 12, Peter makes this powerful statement. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. However, from that time until today, people ignore Jesus. People choose to ignore the reason why he came to earth. Why is that? Well, in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us why people respond in that way. Here's some of what he says in verses 10 to 12. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. According to Paul, our old sinful natures have no desire to seek God. We have no desire to find salvation that God offers. But the account of Jesus seeking Zacchaeus shows that salvation is available to anyone who responds to God as he seeks them out. Those who accept the salvation that God offers. After the salvation of Zacchaeus, Jesus says in verse 10 of Luke 1, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." The very rich religious leader said no to Jesus and the salvation that Jesus offered him, and he went away sad. The very rich chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, said yes, and Jesus completely changed his life. I believe the story of Zacchaeus tells us that none of us are too sinful for God. None of us are too far away from God for him to seek us out. I believe that at some point in our lives, God seeks each of us with an offer of salvation. He gives us an opportunity to respond, to say yes or to say no to him. What is your response to God's offer of salvation for you? Have you already said yes? Or have you decided to say no? Or maybe you're still uncertain. Well, if you're uncertain, come and talk with me, or come and talk with Jeremy, or whoever you're with comfortable talking to. But that's really the story of Zacchaeus, and I think it's an amazing story where such a despised, hated person finds Jesus and finds salvation. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your amazing plan of salvation. You love us so much that you sent your only son Jesus to die on the cross to provide salvation for us. In this really incredible story of Zacchaeus, who was so hated and so despised, yet you loved him and you sought him out, and he responded to the offer of salvation that you gave to him. I just pray for each of us that are here today that we will respond to you in whatever way you're speaking to us. We know that you call out to us, Lord. Help us to come to you and answer that call on our lives. Thank you for the story today. In Jesus' name, amen.